the Paxlovid or whatever that pre-COVID preventive thing, think about that. I'm not too much for that because I got my second dose of Pfizer back on April 1st, 2020. And for a year and a half, it affected the right side of my body muscles. Took me that long to recover from the vaccine, not the COVID, the vaccine. So I'm not fond of those vaccines. Haven't taken a booster since then. I'm kind of weighing whether I should get a new COVID shot or not. But sort of my summary is I think I trust God more than COVID, than the vaccines now. Jeffrey has the music in a box machine, the digital hymnal, because he was working on that. So we're going to try a little a cappella today. We'll see how that goes. And I think I know, and I got the sniffles. Oh, and the elevator is not working. So it's just one of those days, right? So the only one that I cannot find whether I'm familiar with plunking it out on the piano is the hymn number 553, Come Let Us Eat. So if there is someone who knows that hymn and would like to lead it, awesome. Otherwise, we'll probably just skip that and go on. Not many announcements today. Wednesday, we have the church council meeting. Other than that, just a reminder for you ladies who are thinking about the women's retreat that's coming up this month as well down at Covenant Park Bible Camp. I did take a trip down there and talked to Kayla. We have a date on the calendar for her to come up and talk with us about what's happening at Covenant Park, and I learned that she's been there for 8 years. I didn't realize our camp directors stayed that long. I guess I was remembering back in the day when they were there for a couple of years and moved on. So I also learned that they live in a house on the property, and she gave me a tour of the fancy new, I'll call it auditorium or whatever that is called, and the living quarters in the auditorium and all sorts of stuff. But it blessed my heart because the chapel is the same. And so is the dining room, or what I call the dining room. So, and the little gazebo in the middle. They're all still memories that I connect to back in the day. So if you would like to stand with me, let's begin with our call to worship. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord all of my life.
I will sing praise to God as long as I live.
Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob.
Whose hope is in the Lord their God.
He is the maker of heaven and earth.
He remains faithful forever.
The Lord reigns, your God, O Zion, for all generations.
Praise the Lord.
The first one, hymn, is number 685. I'll see if we can, I should get a regular one. Who here has perfect pitch? Jeffrey has perfect pitch, and I really, through the years of working in music, have really valued that. It's amazing to me, he can look at a piece of music and he can start in the key that the music is written in, And this week I was actually thinking about somebody should invent a machine, not that I'm fond of AI, a machine that can just look, take a picture of the music. It's all mathematical, you know. Take a picture of the music and play it. But I haven't seen an invention like that yet. So this starts in G. I, the Lord of the sea and sky, I have heard my people cry. All who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here am I, Lord. It is I, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will go. Give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling. Father God, we're just so delighted to be able to get together to praise and honor you, and in our hearts, together with all of your people all around the world, meeting at this time or other times, today or during the week, to honor your body, the body of your Son, Messiah Jesus, who has saved us, redeemed us, supports us, helps us, enabled us. As we come together, we would ask, Lord, that you would be especially with Audrey and Shirley today. Help them to recover quickly from this virus and give them support and encouragement during that recovery. We thank you for them. They are a blessing to us. And we thank you also, Lord, that we can gather in the name of Jesus and in the name of your name, our Father, God, Yahweh, Jehovah, God of Israel, God of salvation. We honor you through Jesus, your Son, whom you love. Amen. You may be seated.
Morning.
Good morning.
So the first lesson today will be Psalm 125, and that's on page 472 in your pew Bible. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart, but those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. The next lesson is Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 37. And that's on page 770 in your pew Bible. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her. For it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Andrew. Giving of our tithes and offerings, as I've mentioned before, we believe that the Lord will lead you what to give. Most important thing is that you give with joy and freedom from your own heart. God is our ultimate supplier, and he does well at that. We have no music, so while Roger is taking the offering, I'll just keep talking. How about that? Today we'll be starting our adult class downstairs. After the service this morning, we have coffee time downstairs. You're welcome to come. In fact, you're invited to join us. A lot of catching up that each of you do with each other. And then after the coffee time at 11 o'clock, we'll begin the adult class. And as I've mentioned before, my plan is to take a look at church history. I am not a historian. I was talking with Roger. Neither of us fancy history. I didn't when I was in school because they require you to remember all this data, and I am not a data person. So I won't explain to you right now how I passed the tests. May not be appropriate in church service. But I managed to get through it. No, the way that I want to look at it is how it has affected Christianity throughout the years and the troubles that Christianity has endured to this point. And this morning we'll be taking the first century of Christianity and the successes and troubles that occurred during that first century and the absolute miracle of the success of Christianity in comparison to other religions. Roger, would you just bring that forth? We'll have a word of prayer together. Thank you all for your giving and for your giving of yourselves to the Lord on a continuing basis. Father, we are just grateful to you. You have blessed us in so many ways. And so we return ourselves to you for service. And in any way that you need us, we are here. And if you call us, we will go. The only thing we ask is that you would make it clear to us what you want us to do. Continue to be with us during this time, Lord. Bless us all and honor your name through the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Roger. Would you pray with me? Our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from the beginning, we have continued to remember our brothers and sisters, not just in our fellowship, not just connected as friends to our fellowship, but our brothers and sisters throughout the range, as we pray that you would drop your Holy Spirit and your power upon the range once again. We thank you that all over the range there you have your people, and that their faith in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and their love for us and for one another continues. We know that this faith and love that you've given to us and given to them springs from that seed of hope that you've planted in all of us. The hope that grows into faith and demonstrates itself in love. You are God, the holy, only, most high God of Israel and of all creation. You, Lord Jesus, are the Father's Son and the Son of Man, bridging the gap between us and our Father. And we know that all over the range and around the world, people acknowledge you as the true God and acknowledge you, Lord Jesus, as the true Savior and Son of God. You and the Father are one, and you, the Father and the Spirit, are one. And so we welcome your presence in our lives and your presence with us as we walk our faith journey. We also thank you, Father, that the good news, which we call the gospel, is spreading forth all across the world in just amazing ways, producing fruit and growing lives. Just as we have witnessed through our years, we have witnessed the growth of that good news in our lives. And we know that because of your power, when people hear the good news with a soft heart and a hearing mind, you can change and have changed their lives. We ask you, Father, to fill all of us, your people, with the knowledge of your will. We need your help with that. Because of all the distractions of the world, we need to hear your voice through or past or above all of those distractions. Give us your spiritual wisdom and understanding above the wisdom and understanding of the world. And Father, help us to bear fruit in good works, grow in the knowledge of you, be strengthened with the power that you have implanted in us by your Holy Spirit, ultimately so that you would receive the acknowledgement, the glory. We thank you for that. Give us patience and endurance in a world that seems to be coming unglued. During this time, we will maintain our joy and will joyfully give thanks to you Thanks to you because you have qualified us to participate in the inheritance of the saints forever and ever in the kingdom of light, your kingdom. We thank you that you have rescued us and that you are in the business of rescuing others. We pray for our brothers and sisters who are struggling with challenges, recovery, or maybe just their own walk, that you would be real to them as you are real to us. And we thank you that we can trust you and that you will continue your good work among us as well as around the world. Thank you for redemption and for forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, which we need. And so today we just pause to give you thanks and glory, blessing you in your name, Jehovah, and in the name of your Son, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, in whose name we come before you, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So we will try hymn number 520. See if I can get us started on B flat. You know, there's a risk to us doing this, and that is that you can all leave here saying that you sung a solo in church today, a cappella, nonetheless. And someone might invite you to do that again. Get the right one here.
Of beauty, Zion, let me enter.
That's not right. Anybody know this one? I was singing the wrong tune. Okay, I think maybe I got it.
Open now your gates of beauty, Zion, let me enter there, where my soul in joyful duty waits for God whom answers prayer.
Okay, maybe I don't know it. Probably still singing the wrong tune. Anybody want to sing a solo? Okay. An announcement from Covenant Park Bible Camp. It has been an amazing summer at camp. We had more campers and attend camp this year than in 2023, and an increased number of kids without a church home attending. It was awesome to see and hear the strong response to the gospel. We also had an incredible staff and volunteer force. Thanks for all your prayers as well as the many other ways of support this summer. Thank you. What I wanted to talk to you about today, as I've mentioned before, whenever we have communion, at least for the next few months and has been through the summer, I want to spend some time on the Lord's Supper. I think sometimes we face the Lord's Supper as a tradition, a rite, and it's so much more than that. In addition, there are cautions in the Word of God about participating in the Lord's Supper. I had mentioned to the council that Bill had talked to me about coming up to Washington Manor once a month to provide communion to the folks up there who are interested in attending. And good news, Bill, the supplies finally arrived this week, so we can talk about getting that thing going as the Lord leads. Communion is just so important. Now, I don't take the orientation of Joseph Prince. How many watch Joseph Prince? I didn't think so. He's from, I think, Korea or Japan. What?
Singapore.
Okay, close. He believes that we should take the communion daily and that it is the source of healing, physical healing, as well as the spiritual benefits. So I don't take that orientation. But I do believe what we have in this word about communion, the Lord's Supper. That Last Supper he celebrated with his disciples, and just checking, are you a disciple of Jesus? So that qualifies us. And so I'd like to take a few minutes to review 1 Corinthians 11. Before that, and tied in with that, and in a way I want to apologize for the title of the sermon today. I don't usually get so esoteric, but I couldn't resist the imperative of the oneness and the oneness of the imperative, which doesn't say anything, right? I mean, it's just one of those Bible college seminary kind of things that you throw out there. But I thought it was fun enough. I just had to do that. Well, we'll be talking about those two things and clearing it up, making it a little bit more simple. So starting with the first one, the imperative of the oneness, which means, as we've already prayed this morning, we are one throughout the world. Believers everywhere, we are one. We are the body of Jesus. And I was blessed last Sunday. As you know, we cancel traditionally, at least in the last few years, I don't know how long it's been going, we cancel services on Labor Day. But I was blessed by all from our church who were able to attend that service over at the Minnesota Discovery Center. But I was blessed in addition because of all the folks there who are believers in Jesus. There are hundreds of people there at that service. I was also blessed because I got to bump into people that I've known from various churches around the Iron Range, got to talk to them a little bit. That was an experience for me of that oneness, an experience of that unity. I talked with some folks from different churches around the area, and I couldn't find in my very limited investigation of any other church that attended with significant numbers. There were just one or two people from some different churches, and their churches had not, even though they were on the list of invitation, their churches had not canceled services to come together. So I was just blessed that we could come together with them, with all of our brothers and sisters, and representative of all of our brothers and sisters in their individual churches that met that day. I was also blessed that no offering was taken. Now, that might not seem much to you, but when Kathy and I were in the church in Embarrass, one of the things I did was I put the offering in the back. It wasn't a part of the service, more as a representation. But what has always concerned me is that when we give the gospel into the community, and this was a community event as far as I'm concerned, when we give the gospel to the community, traditionally, in our lifetimes, there is an offering taken. And I have always been a believer that the gospel is free, and that if we have evangelistic services, in particular, evangelistic services, teaching may be different or something like that, but evangelistic services, that no offering should be taken. And part of it is because through the years in my work in evangelism, probably the criticism that I've heard the most about those outreaches is they always want money. Now, I know that's probably a bogus complaint, right, from our perspective. But it's still a barrier in my mind. It's still a barrier to people coming to hear the good news. And so in some of the evangelistic services that I've been a part of, we published no offering taken, no fee, no cost, to try to declare to the world that we as Christians are not really interested in your money. We're just interested that you find this Jesus that we found. He's just really cool. Apologize for the hippie 70s language. It's still a part of me. No, I wasn't a hippie. Some have accused me of that, but I really wasn't. I was also blessed because they gave away Bibles free. The Bible that they gave away, I had to look this up because I'd never heard of it before, is the Christian Standard Bible, published by Holman Publishers. Now, Holman Publishers has been a favorite of mine through the years. The Christian Standard Bible, as I found out reading about it, is a combination of two types of Bibles that we have been familiar with, the Living Bible and the New American Standard Bible, or Revised Standard, or in some ways the New International Version. This Christian Standard Bible is a combination of word-for-word translation and paraphrase. Now, I've never seen that happen before, and I haven't read one, so I can't really comment on that further. I just thought it was a delight that they had tables, some of you who were there, filled with all sizes of Bibles. And I walked by it the first time and thought, I don't need another Bible. I just ordered another New American Standard study Bible, and it's about that thick, a huge monster. So I didn't need another Bible, but I thought maybe I'll purchase one to give away. Never did purchase or receive a free edition. Just didn't feel led to continue along those lines. But I noticed that a lot of people did. And some were taking two Bibles that they could give away to some folks they knew. Awesome. Those Bibles, as I found out later, were provided by the combination of churches that we have around our area called North Star. They had been purchased by them and were offering them free of charge. I was blessed, in addition, that we celebrated communion together. We are one in the body of Christ, and I know so many people, believers around the range. It was just a blessing to me. And I just felt that in the spirit, we are one. And today, in celebration of communion, I think we can return that compliment in our hearts, that we are one with our brothers and sisters everywhere. So that oneness, which impacted me, I would like to start with a famous Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. Now that verse 2 doesn't mean much to us. We don't go around pouring oil on people's heads nowadays. But back in the day, when you went to bless a person, and we saw that when David was anointed to be king, that oil was poured on his head. It was a special rite. Going on in the last verse, verse 3, it is like as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. So verse 1 and the last half of verse 3 really are the words that mean something to us. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. See, the deal is unity is a choice. We can choose to be united with one another, or we can choose not to be. Oneness is not a choice. So let's take a look at the warning in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 31, and see the imperative of the oneness. It's not just important, it's essential. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 27. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Pretty strong words. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. And we, in many cases, what I've heard in preaching, that this refers to checking your hearts, getting forgiveness for sin, getting right with the Lord, and that's part of it. But he goes on to target what he's saying here in particular. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, eat and drink judgment on themselves. And the sermons that I've heard about this talk about discerning the body of Jesus, his sacrifice for us, his broken body, the blood of Jesus, which saves us from sin, that he shed for us. But the context of Paul's writing, both before and after, is the body of Christ, the body of believers. Not just the body of Jesus, but the body of believers. discerning the body of believers, the body of Christ. And so it says, repeating the same verse, for those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. Now that's two statements that are pretty powerful. The first one, guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. And the second one, eat and drink judgment on themselves. Here's a third. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. And some of you know that when fallen asleep is mentioned by Jesus in the Gospels and here by Paul and in other locations, it means dead from this world. Fallen asleep meaning they have life eternal. Dead from this world. Three serious statements from Paul. And knowing Paul and his seriousness, Paul doesn't joke around a lot in his writings. I think we need to take him seriously as well. Going on in verse 31, but if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. So my interest is the oneness we have with all of the body of believers living, and those who have gone on to be with the Lord are believers from our Hebrew believers from past history, which we would probably call Old Testament believers. We are one in the Lord. So I'd like to read from Ephesians chapter 4, just for your interest, how Paul approaches this oneness. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1 through verse 5. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity. There's the choice point. Making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Here's the fact. These aren't choices. These are facts. There is one body. We got lots of denominations. We've got lots of churches in our area. From God's perspective and from Jesus' perspective, there's just one. One body, all true believers. There is one Spirit. One, as you were called to one hope when you were called. One hope. One Lord, our Lord Jesus. One faith, not many different faiths, although we say that, don't we? People have different faiths. What we mean is they have different theology. But from God's perspective, there's just one faith. One baptism, that is referring to the baptism of water. This is Mike now. Not the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as some are talking about. This baptism that Paul is referring to is the baptism of water, the statement that we make of our commitment to Jesus. There is one God, one Father over all. Actually, he puts that together in the Greek, one God Father, one God and Father of us all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us now, after that oneness, to each one of us now, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. There is one. We are one. And I think for most of us here, I don't need to belabor that any further. I think we have hearts of oneness. So I'd like to go on to the second part, the oneness of the imperative. Okay, we're one. Now what do we do with it? After that, John 13:35, I think, summarizes that very clearly. You can probably guess, because you all have taken plenty of time in the Word, so you're probably all there, already there before me. John 13, and verse 35, this particular version of the NIV, the verse numbers are really tiny, so I have trouble finding it. One of the reasons why I ordered that other Bible, and the verse numbers in that other thick Bible, I can read now, and the print is a little bit bigger, but it makes it a humongous weapon in case of emergency. John 13:35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And as you all know, that is the one commandment that Jesus added to the two essential commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This commandment I give to you, that you love one another. So in a very special, real sense, our love for each other in the body of Christ should be distinctly different. Now that's hard to talk about, hard for me to talk about or understand, because Jesus also says, love your neighbors and love your enemies, and my interpretation also love the tweeners, that is, the people in between believers and enemies, all those folks in between. We should love everybody. But Jesus made it very special in his last evening with his disciples. This command I give to you, love one another in a very special way. Each other. So in a practical sense, and some of you know I like the practical. How do we do that? We struggle with that. I've talked about that before. Give you a couple of tips from Mike's experience. One of the tips in loving is respecting. We hear a lot about, I get no R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Respecting means valuing the, in my opinion, my perspective means valuing the other person as at least an equal. They are a human, as I was reading this week, puts it this way. They are a human who was created by your same creator. That means they're valuable. Maybe a Christian, maybe not a Christian. Still valuable. Jesus still paid the full price for all of us. That's how valuable they are. I disagree with them, perhaps, still valuable. So how do we do respect? Well, some of the things that I've learned in ministering to people, especially in areas of what we might call evangelism or outreach, honesty. Always be honest with people. People figure out if you're jiving them. And again, I've heard plenty of folks talk to me about different folks who've talked to them about the Lord, and you've heard the same thing. Hypocrites. They say one thing and do another. Straightforward honesty. The second thing that I think is important is that we need to own it. This is what I believe. I'm not here to judge you, and Jesus said that. I didn't come to judge the world. I came to save the world. So I'm not here to judge you. What I'm just saying is this is the way I believe. This is the way I look at it. And I found people accept that much more than saying, you know, the way you're living isn't right. We may get to that later along the line. But I can say this is what I believe. And the third tip that I have for today is genuinely care about people. Caring about people means we listen to them rather than giving our opinions. I'm interested in you. Tell me about you. Help me to get to know you. And then ask them questions about themselves. And then, somewhere along the line, give them a blessing. And I don't mean bless you. What I mean is bless them with your love and your concern and consideration. You can even say something like, thank you for the time we've been able to talk. I'm going to put you on my prayer list. I think God wants to do something in your life. God wants to bless you. Well, that is the preparation of our hearts for the fellowship with the Christ, the Messiah, and all of his followers all around the world today. And so I'd ask Roger if you would come forward. We'll have a word of prayer. And then we will today celebrate our oneness with all of our friends in Jesus and with Jesus himself. Would you pray with me? Father, today we recognize, acknowledge, accept, and stretch out our love from our hearts to all of the people who have made that choice that you are their God and Jesus is their Savior. We stretch out our hearts to everyone who will be accepting Jesus as their Savior. And Lord Jesus, as your disciples here in the 21st century, joining with all of your disciples all through time, we reach back into the time that you sat with your original disciples to celebrate the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the wine, to celebrate your body and your blood given for us. We honor you. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Let us share the broken body of Jesus. Paul's instructions concerning the Lord's Supper, he said, when you come together, wait for one another. And what that meant in those days was because they had food available, don't just rush to the food table, the smorgasbord. But what we've interpreted that is also pertaining to the communion. So we just wait for one another. No music feels funny, doesn't it? So quiet in here. Thank you, brother. The body of Jesus broken for us, take and eat. We have hymns about the blood of Jesus sacrificed for us. The blood that fell down on the ground at the cross. I've seen hymns about that. I think back a few hours before, because his blood was shed on the ground during the whipping and the brutality, utter brutality. The Old Testament says that he was beaten up so much you couldn't even recognize him. One of the answers that I have to myself of why after the resurrection people had a hard time recognizing him. Not only did he have the marks in his hands and his feet, but he was pretty messed up. So I can understand why people had a difficulty recognizing him until he opened his mouth and started talking. Thank you, Roger. This blood shed for us is the forgiveness of our sins. Take and drink. Now I think we can do 609. Pretty confident we can do 609. We'll find out.
Mike, did not. I found it on YouTube.
What's that?
I did find it on YouTube.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. That'd be good.
It does what? Oh, does that thing play it?
Sure.
Committed to the service of the Lord. Come to the bends and have a welcome. worship him with consecration. Grace and love you will receive. For Christ's grace, give him the glory. For the Spirit and the Word. And repeat the gospel story until all his name have heard.
Thank you. Boy, just find out new things all the time. If you would stand, and since I can't sing this, let's just speak it to one another today, okay? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.